So as I mentioned a few moments ago, here at our fellowship, we have an annual tradition each December. We invite people to give half of what they would have spent on their gifts and other holiday expenses to this project that we call the Greater Good. Our children and youth hear from worthy organizations in the community, and then they vote, and they voted in November, to decide which one gets our Greater Good funds. You'll hear later from a parent and a member of our Greater Good committee about why their family participates in the Greater Good. You'll also hear from our worship leader, Leah, and from me in a little while about the ways that our generosity of time, talent, and financial resources can be a form of using our voice in the service of healing and wholeness. But first, I want to give you a chance to hear from our past and current winners of the Greater Good. So first, you'll hear from fellowship members Scott Peoples and Dee Verkylen, who are from Pillars, which won our Greater Good funds last year. They'll share how that money was put to good use. And then you'll hear from representatives of the National Unitarian Universalist Service Committee through the magic of video, and let them share with you how they plan to use the money that you donate this year through the Greater Good Initiative. So first, Scott and Dee.
So my wife and I have been members of the fellowship for 30 years, and to be chosen as a recipient of the Greater Good for my agency, our agency Pillars, is one of the most wonderful memories I've had in that 30 years. It was a year ago today where Dee and I presented to all the youth of the fellowship, which is a wonderful experience. I really love children, and that was one of the best things I got to do this year. They voted for us. They gave us $12,000. So we're very gratifying, and I don't underestimate how every dollar is important to those kids too. I mean, they're giving up their money. So the mission of Pillars is about homelessness, but that's not all we do. From homelessness to coming home, Pillars provide shelter, support, and solutions to address the housing needs in our community. So right now, people are thinking about shelters. We have two homeless shelters, 140 people every night of the year, even more critical when it's cold outside during these winter months. Right now at our adult and family shelter, we have over 20 children staying there and staying out of the cold and getting services. All the people in the shelter, their goal is to someday get into a home, and home is really what we're all about. One of the programs that the Greater Good money is going to, has gone to this year, is a program we called Single Room Occupancy, which is a housing program for people coming out of shelters. So I'm going to let Dee reflect on that a little bit because she's the case manager of our current single room occupancy home. Thank you so much for everything you've done for us this year.
As Scott said, my name is Dee, and I'm with the single room occupancy case management of the house, the first of three houses that we have. One of the things that is a great barrier for some of the group of men that I currently have in this house, there was a population they had discovered that were kind of stuck in the shelters that were making income. They had a job. They had about $1,000 at least a month for their income, but they were finding issues and troubles with trying to, maybe it was their credit score that was getting in the way for getting an apartment of their own, or maybe they had a history of an eviction or more than one eviction. In some cases, also their criminal history might be getting in the way of that as well. So this program, Single Room Occupancy, is a program that it's a place between shelter and between their eventual permanent home. So I think it's literally a transitional time for them to build up things like, again, their rental history, and we offer them affordable rent in this program. We help them build that positive rental history again. And of course, we offer that case management, which means that I meet with them, these four men, individually about once a week. We talk about all sorts of life issues and you know, finance issues and you know, work struggles or the whole gamut you can imagine. It's something that I greatly value in my role. In this house, they each have their own room, but they do share, of course, living room, kitchen, bathrooms, TV time. They also came with, this house itself came with a pool table, which is kind of cool for these guys. So that is in the basement, and they can turn to that for some fun and connecting in their own way with that. These men come from a multitude of backgrounds, multitude of varying degrees of trauma and their own barriers. So they all come from different places. And they're also, actually these right here are two of our guys. There are younger guys, and then we have two older guys, probably about 20 years older than them. But they're really great to work with. A couple months ago, we had our first house meal together, because it is so hard to get them all together, if you can imagine, with their schedules. But we had a house meal together, me and another coworker, and it was so wonderful. We talked to them about what this has all meant to them. What it was just so cool being a part of what home means to them here and now. And in 3 weeks from today, we're going to have another meal, which I'm really excited about. That'll be a nice holiday meal. But it's just wonderful to be a part of Pillars and a part of these men's lives. We will have two more houses opening up by probably mid-2020, which will be about 8 more people. And it is open to both men and women, so it'll be very cool to see what other opportunities open up for these individuals. Thank you so much for the output of support, financial and time, for Pillars. It's been great so far, so we appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Hello, Fox Valley Unitarian Universalists. My name is Carly Cronin, and I work at UUSC as the Senior Associate for Congregational Support. We're so glad and grateful to be partnering with you on your Greater Good project this year, and especially that your focus is migrant justice, and that the kids and youth of your congregation got to learn more about such an important and timely topic. UUSC is a nearly 80-year-old human rights organization that's grounded in the values of Unitarian Universalism and that works through eye-to-eye partnership. That means that we work with grassroots, community-led organizations around the world to address immediate needs in their communities, as well as work together towards larger systemic change, working to advance solutions that they identify and develop themselves, rather than ones that we might perceive from far away as important to advance.
Hi, I'm Laura Randall. I'm the Associate Director for Congregation Relations at UUSC, and I want to join with Carly for saying thank you so much for choosing UUSC to be the Greater Good Project this year at Fox Valley. So as Carly was saying, we do our work in two different ways. We work with folks who are immediately impacted by the injustices of the immigration system, and we also work for systemic change. One way to think about this is if you were walking by a river and you saw there were people in the river who were drowning and needed to get out, you would help them out of the river. And getting those people out of the river, that's an example of the direct assistance that we provide. But also, you might wonder, why are those people in the river in the first place? And you'd want to go back upstream to see who's throwing those people in the river and get them to stop. And so that's an example of systemic change. And we try to do both things at UUSC. Some examples of the systemic changes that we're working on is we have partners in Central America who are doing education and advocacy for the folks living there to advance their own human rights, to protect them, to fight for the legal rights that they deserve in those countries so that they have a right to stay in the homes that they have worked so hard for. An example of what we're doing here in the United States is that we've worked with our partners and allies. We've shut down the Homestead Detention Facility in Florida, and we're working right now in Pennsylvania to shut down the Burke County Detention Facility, and your gifts are going to help continue that work.
In addition to supporting the right to stay in Central America and trying to shut down immigration detention centers and change policies and practices that adversely affect immigrants and migrants seeking asylum in the U.S., we also work with our partners to support immediate aid for people who are facing injustices right now. This includes supporting immediate needs of migrants who are making the dangerous and long journey north from Central America through Mexico to reach the U.S. border, including providing food, shelter, and help locating missing family members. It also includes supporting people who are in immigration detention today through visitation programs and legal aid. It also includes supporting people who are deported back to the countries they fled from in Central America to find new jobs, reintegrate back into their communities, and live safely. And lastly, it includes support for migrant workers who are organizing for their rights in workplaces in the U.S. because they're often taken advantage of for lacking documentation.
Thank you, Fox Valley Unitarian Universalists. You're joining nearly 80 years of UUSC history by supporting human rights and doing it today in this important migrant justice work. You're joining together with 36 of our migrant justice partners located in six countries. Your generosity is supporting migrants from their starts in Central America, through their long journey through Mexico, and after they reach the United States, we continue to support them here. The partners we work with are innovative and creative and are doing vital work in their communities. And our partner organizations are often overlooked by larger aid organizations, which makes your gifts even more important to the work we're doing to support our neighbors and asylum seekers and to uplift Unitarian Universalist values for human rights, fighting injustice, and making the world a safer place for all of our neighbors. Thank you again. We really appreciate your generosity.
So, as a parent of young children, one of my biggest hopes is that I am raising kind people. One aspect of kindness, as far as I have noticed, is generosity. I want my children to witness me being generous to other people, and I want to help them learn how to be generous. Leah already explored the power of being generous with our time. That is a deeply powerful form of generosity. Some of us have more flexibility with our time and can give it in meaningful ways. Some of us, on the other hand, might have more flexibility with our financial resources, our money, and be able to give it to others in meaningful ways. I recognize that we all have wildly different financial circumstances. Some of us are struggling to pay bills. I know that there are members and friends of this congregation who are currently or recently houseless. Some of us live comfortably, but not with excess. Some of us can afford vacations and other luxuries. Some of us have more time than others, and some of us have more money than others. I don't want you to take from this message today that you can only be generous if you have a lot of money to give, or that if you don't have a lot of money to give away, that you're not generous. Generosity takes many forms, and we all have ways that we can be generous. Now, I'll admit that the first time I participated in the Greater Good Project, which was actually at a different congregation, I was like, are you kidding me? You want me to cut all of my holiday spending in half. After a hard look at our family's budget, I realized that that just wasn't possible for my family. The majority, more than half, of our holiday expenses were around travel. If I cut it all in half, I wouldn't have been able to get my family to see our relatives, and let alone get any gifts at all. So, because airfare, my friends, is pretty pricey. But if I realized that if I omitted that travel part, that I could drastically reduce my holiday spending to find a way to give to the greater good. I just don't want you to leave today thinking this is an all or nothing effort. Do what it is that works for you and your family. So that year, I created a letter that we sent to our family members explaining that we would be cutting our holiday spending down in order to participate in this project, and invited them to do the same. We were also early enough in parenting that we could then and there decide how to involve Santa in our holiday celebration. "Dear Santa," I wrote, "we have decided that we are only asking you to bring stocking presents and treats to our kids. We'll take care of the larger gifts. This way we could be sure that we had control over the kinds of things that we got for our kids and invite other family members to chip in for larger gifts rather than expecting the man in the red suit to have extremely deep pockets. Just this past week, we took our two boys to go see Santa at the Oshkosh Celebration of Lights. As is tradition, my almost four-year-old Nevin sat on Santa's knee and told him what he was hoping for. What do you want Santa to bring in your stocking? I prompted Nevin, hoping Santa would catch my drift. Nevin asked for a dinosaur. He knows he can only ask Santa for things that fit in his stocking. But later, on the drive home, we overheard Nevin in the back seat composing an original song, as he often does. And this one had the chorus, "I love Christmas Day because we get special presents, because we get special presents." I looked at my husband. "I think we need to work a little more on the true meaning of Christmas," I said. That opportunity did present itself shortly when Nevin said to us from the back seat how glad he was that Christmas Day was coming so he could get dinosaurs and lots of other presents. We talked about how Christmas is about generosity and love and helping other people. I reminded him about the baby in the nativity at home and how that baby grew up to be a teacher who taught us to be loving and kind to each other, and how Santa is generous, and so we should try to be like Santa and be generous to other people, right? Right? He proceeded to keep singing. But one of these days, I hope it'll kick in. Because aligning our spending, the way that we use our financial resources, with the words that we use at home about helping people, about doing good in the world, I hope that those messages will be the ones that our kids grow up to remember. That they remember that we used our voice not only through our words, but through aligning our spending of time and money with the words that we said at home, even if they don't quite get it yet. May it be so.